Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers, we read comics. Or Serena's here, we're siblings, we read comics together.
We're family.
Yeah.
We love each other.
Yeah. We're continuing our spooky season, our spooky week, Spooktober, Nathan.
Ooh. Remember that like 1 week when mom and dad tried to get us all to read at once, like together, just like normal books?
Like reading time or something?
I think I do remember
we did it like one time. We're like, you know what? We're all going to read right now. And I was like, I don't even remember what I was reading, but I got really bored by it.
Were we fighting about the TV or something?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what prompted it.
Had to have been a punishment.
I figured it would. Maybe. I think it was just like something that dad was like, let's do a nice thing together and let's all read.
Yikes.
And that never again.
Like, it sounds like a family that would be in a horror movie.
Yeah.
But if it was comic books, maybe that would have gone differently. Who knows?
Yeah. Maybe it was like books that we had to read for school or something, you know, like could eventually.
Yeah. Probably. But I was probably reading End of Mice and Men.
Yeah. I was probably reading Judy Blume for my accelerated reader.
I love Judy Blume.
Yeah, dude. Those things were sick, but they like were only counted for like 2 points, and you need like 30 for the semester. I'm like, I don't know what else to do. I tried like reading fucking like Aragon because it's worth like 50 points. I'm like, oh, I'll just read one book and then I'm good. And then I fucking failed the test and I was like, no.
The spark notes.
Yeah,
they didn't have internet, or I didn't know that. Yes, back then.
I'm pretty sure they did.
You're like 27.
Six. Yeah. I'm 26. That's right.
It is prime.
At the time in like, I don't know, elementary school, I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know you could cheat. I'm a man of God.
I've been cheating since day one.
Oh, me too.
Anyway, we got time codes, time stamps in the description with our different segments. We got the pull list. We got the back matter. We got the book, and we got. What do we start with, Serena?
News.
Yeah, comic news. That's
right.
Yeah.
The Serena news.
Yeah. No, that was so foul. When I watched that, I was like, oh my God.
Oh, I forgot that you did that. That's funny.
That was
the worst photo you could possibly put.
Good.
I was laughing so hard when I was like editing that because it worked out exactly how I pictured it in my head.
You literally said you were going to do that. I was like, there's no way he's going to do that. And then I watched. I was like, I don't know.
I will do that except two of your faces.
Yeah.
You're back.
What news do you have, Rena?
Not really anything. Just
Nathan, I saw this somewhere when I was trying to burn time, but Joe Quesada is going to DC.
He's doing covers for Batman.
That's but the gist of it. I think he's gonna be on like action. No, not Detective Comics.
That would be pretty sick.
Pretty sick, right?
Yeah. So he has been like a chief creative officer or something over at Microsoft. That's
Marvel.
Marvel for.
You got a work mode, Nathan.
At Marvel for like decades.
Yeah.
And so he's left, and he's like, I'm gonna do film and do my own comic, and now he's at DC. So who knows what's going on. But that's pretty cool. I like Joe Quesada. I haven't seen him do covers in a while, so that's pretty exciting.
That guy's the man.
Yeah.
Hey, what is what's it called? Black Adam about?
It's like, you remember Shazam, that movie Shazam?
Yeah.
This is like the evil Shazam.
Okay.
And it's The Rock.
It's not a great.
Interesting.
So
you're lying.
But we're going to go see it next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to that?
Yeah. Lit. Should be. Wait, what day is it? Thursday.
Yeah, so so The Rock was supposed to be Black Adam for like the last 20 years or something like ridiculous. Like he's been signed on to be Black Adam for a while. But he's essentially a character that was like a slave and then got powers, and now he wants to rule over his nation of what's called
Asgard.
Kandak or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Kandak or something like that. And he wants to protect his people, but then sometimes people from outside want to come in and, I don't know, do shit. And he's like, this is my area, so I'm just going to do things the way that I want to do it. And I'm going to protect my people. And that creates conflict. Kind of like politics.
I was just trying to explain, like, the powers, you know?
Yeah, but powers, he's not supposed like to be a Shazam villain, but I don't know what they're doing.
Not like his motivations, you know.
You think it'll be good?
Maybe.
I have no idea.
I was like, if The Rock's in it, then he's going to want to make it good or some shit like that.
The Rock's been in bad movies, but...
No, I know.
It's got... It could be good. I think it's potentially it's like could 50, be bad. 50. Yeah.
Like, really 50-50?
I think it'll be like a 75.
I'm more interested in... Because DC's got, like, nothing going on, it feels like. So yeah. It seems like they're trying to make DC the Rockiverse.
This is their fucking Hail Mary.
It really is.
To win the game, yeah.
The Rock has to carry the whole DC universe on his back.
The Rock needs to be like DeAndre Hopkins movie. In like triple coverage just to win the game.
Yeah, pretty much. And then Batman will come out every once in a while and that'll do pretty good. But everything else, that's The Rock.
Universe-wise.
Yeah.
Nathan. Rena, did you see the Super Mario Bros. Trailer?
Oh, wow. I feel
Wait,
like that's
Oh, no,
here.
No, I did. I did. Okay. Yeah.
How do we feel? How do we feel?
He doesn't have an ass, Daniel.
Nathan.
No ass.
Where'd that wagon go?
That dump truck.
They took it away from us.
I know. I need that Mario dump truck.
Owl.
Mario is a plumber, and he probably has a CDL for that dump truck.
Exactly.
I really didn't see
that being interesting.
Could I think it'll be great.
Is it about, like, rescuing Peach or some shit?
Naturally.
Probably.
I mean, it
was a teaser, so we don't really know much. It was just to, like, see what everything looks like. But everything visually looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, really good.
Yeah.
Illumination's pretty good.
Yeah, they do good. Jack Black as Bowser is pretty awesome.
I thought I always pictured Bowser having, like, a much deeper voice than Jack Black.
He is going a little bit deeper with it.
Yeah, he definitely has a deeper voice. Like,
Games and shit.
Yeah.
It's more like... Yeah, super deep, I guess.
So that's kind of what I was like expecting. So it might take a second to like adjust to that.
Felt like it fit.
Keegan-Michael Keel was like perfect as Toad.
I thought. I couldn't even tell if that was him or not because it doesn't sound. Even
I couldn't remember who
close.
Was cast as him, and so yeah, that's like that's how I knew
was
it was good.
A different Toad.
And then Chris Pratt is trash.
He's the perfect voice cast for this.
I just need someone who's in like The Sopranos to be like Mario. I just think that only makes sense, you know?
Yeah, because it. Well, I think that they're going to try and do a thing where Chris Pratt's a normal man and then he gets thrown into Mario, Nintendo universe or whatever.
That'd be terrible.
Because in the beginning of the teaser, he gets thrown through the green tube and it looks like he has no idea where the fuck he is. So it seems like it's almost like a Jumanji situation.
That's how the game goes, you know?
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, it seems like at the beginning of the movie, it would be like, I'm Chris Pratt and I hate my life,
that'd be
but I'm going to play the Super Mario's video game.
That'd be such a cop-out. For like an animated movie,
maybe
you know,
maybe he's just a normal plumber and he just talks normally. I don't know, like as and he's at his like plumber job and he falls into the toilet or whatever. I don't know.
What if it's like a,
oh, that'd be so cheesy.
I don't know, but it seems like it'd be something like that, which
it's
is
like
why he doesn't have like the
this jacked handsome man is just a plumber. You know,
yeah, yeah.
That one movie, oh, I forgot what it was called. You know, like
Flushed
the
Away.
Big guy. And he's like, in, they're in the like arcade or whatever.
Jumanji.
No, it's like animated and it has that candy girl in it.
Tron. Oh, Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph. What if it's like that where they're like trying to get out or something?
Maybe.
Oh, get out of the game.
Yeah. Feeling if they make a second one, it's gonna be like that.
It's just really funny because there. I remember seeing an article and it's like Chris Pratt's working really hard on his Mario voice. I think you'll all be surprised.
That sounded like his first try.
Mushroom Kingdom, here we come. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
So I'm still excited to see it though.
Yeah, I'll still see it.
Like Donkey Kong, Seth Rogen. That's
perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Nathan. Blade's Daughter is getting a series coming to Marvel Comics. It's going to be called Blade Bloodline. That's a bit of a tongue twister.
Blade Line.
Yeah. Coming in February.
That's cool. Daniel, Invincible hit its 20-year anniversary.
Oh,
so
shit.
So they're doing a bunch of like reprints on Invincible stuff. And
they're reprinting the compendiums, yeah.
Yeah. And they announced that there's going to be an Invincible video game in the works.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Again.
It's gonna be brutal.
Yeah.
Nathan, we got some Marvel delays. I only bring it up because now we're not gonna be getting two Avengers movies in the same year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they pushed back
Yeah, it was gonna be like Secret Wars. 6 months apart, right?
Yeah, now it'd be like a year apart.
That's probably how it should be.
Probably.
Yeah, because it seemed to work pretty well when Infinity War came out and then Endgame a year later.
And then they put a pause on Blade till they get a director.
Makes sense.
Deadpool is already delayed like by like 2 months.
They just announced it like
I know, like a week ago. Like
a week ago, literally, I think. But
maybe this is supposed to come out.
Maybe Hugh Jackman is not jacked enough yet.
September 2024? Yeah. 2024, yeah.
Yeah, like 2 years.
Who knows if we'll even be here?
Yeah.
I graduated by then.
I'll be dead.
Oh my god. I'll be here still.
In this house.
Who knows what I'll be
in this spot, in this chair.
In this spot right here.
Another new series, Nathan. Silver Surfer. Coming in February as well. It'll be a 5-issue series. Ooh. I don't know. I
feel like they normally put big people on that now, so.
I didn't know them. I didn't know who's on Blade's daughter.
Well, it's not like everybody's like really trying to get a Blade's daughter series going, you know? But I feel like there's a market out there for Silver Surfer.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, who was on it last? Donny Cates?
Yeah.
And then before that was like Dan Slott.
Yeah, it's like Donny Cates and Trad Moore, which is huge. And then before that, Dan Slott and Mike Allred.
All right.
So it's John Jennings and the artist behind Bitch Planet named Valentin DeLandro.
Okay. Those, I know we've read stuff from Valentin, and then John Jennings sounds familiar.
He's Eisner winning, apparently, but I thought that would have been bigger, but who knows.
Well.
Maybe it'll be good. That's all. It was a light week.
Yeah, pretty light.
Like, so that's all I had.
Plenty of time for other stuff, but what did we read this week, Serena?
Infidel.
Infidel. Right. And who was it written by?
Saying that.
Damn it. Hornsick? Pache Shote, I think, is what it is.
Okay.
Pache Shote sounds right. And then Aaron Campbell.
Writer PP.
So he wrote The Good Asian, which was an Eisner Award winner this year, which we read a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And it was really good. And this, also really good, I feel like.
Yeah, pretty good
what
stuff.
What do you think, Serena?
That was pretty good.
Yeah. I think that they really channeled like some of the Get Out energy.
Sure.
Where it's like a horror movie, but
maybe Get Out channeled this energy, you know?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know which one came first. I think even in the...
Oh, it's 2018, so...
I think in the foreword or whatever, someone was saying that it kind of like has that Get Out vibe, and I definitely see that because it's horror rooted in racism. And I think that's a really cool genre of horror. Or like subgenre of horror.
Yeah, you like racism, Nathan?
I think that...
You would.
Let me rephrase. No, I just think that, like, in both cases, for both Get Out and this, it's, like, been very effective in communicating, like, some of those themes.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, like, more series like this could happen, but I thought this was really good.
Definitely. Art by...
Aaron Campbell.
Okay. I guess it's your podcast, and you just say all the things.
Villarubia.
Oh, nice.
Jeff Powell.
Good stuff.
Love that guy.
Yeah, he's good.
Big Jeff guy. But it's like, I think, did this get Eisner's for it? I know it's on like NPR for some reason for being like one of the best like horror stories. Not even just like comic books, right? But like in general, like horror entertainment.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. But overall, I think like of the horror stuff we've read like recently, this is probably like one of the top three. Me.
Okay.
And it's interesting because halfway through the main character changes, it seems like. And so I'm like, what are we even doing? And it all kind of like wraps up in the end. And then I was like, okay, now I understand what happened. So it wrapped up really nicely. But it's a solid like 5 issues. And I don't think it went beyond this, right?
No, just a self-contained thing.
Cool. So do you have anything to say about it before we get in?
I think this book would benefit from you just like reading it like all at once, because, you know, as we're trying to read something before like pod day, sometimes you have to like split it up just to, you know, get it out in time. But so I was kind of reading like one issue here, one issue there. And so it kind of was a little scattered for me.
Yeah.
So definitely. It wouldn't benefit from like picking it up month to month. But I do remember like, reading like the first issue, I'm like, okay, cool, because I did like some extensive research to find a book that I thought you would like. You know, I read like six other books, like just to be like, nah, it's not that scary. You know, just like that. Yeah, just find. We wanted to put you on, Rena.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, I felt like there were a lot of characters, a lot of side characters at least.
Yeah.
And I think once I thought about it more, it makes sense because
there's a lot.
I'll just get into it. But there's like a lot of like conversation about race and like how to like talk about race almost. Mm-hmm. And it would have been weird to have like the main characters, I guess, say that because they're the ones that are like in, like, I don't know, in there experiencing like the horror themes and stuff. And so having like side characters that could talk about it and be like, is that fucked up? Am I racist or is she racist? I don't know.
Yeah.
And so that, I think that's why. But then I think my only criticism is that they tried to make them like big characters that like we should know their name of. And it just confused me.
Sure.
But anyway, let's get into it. It starts with a spooky dream. Love that. And it's the main character.
Great way to start.
Aisha. And yeah, that's what immediately I was psyched because I was like, these colors are fucking awesome. Cause
super dope.
Like, he did like a really interesting like pattern coloring almost, which I thought was going to be like the norm throughout the whole book. But I can see why it's not because that would be really hard. But it was super cool coloring. And we get the first look at our demon.
Yeah.
Or one of the demons. Is that what we're calling them? I think
they're ghouls.
Did they say that?
Yeah. In the back matter.
Okay, yeah. So
spoilers for back matter. Yeah.
I did read it.
Read the fucking book, Nathan.
Jesus.
I really like how the ghouls like rendered as well. Like it's very clearly different from like the normal like main characters. And it just like creates a feeling of like that's fucked.
Oh yeah, the coloring is just like super odd.
How they're shaded as opposed to like normal characters.
It looks like the characters, the main characters are like inked, you know, and then the ghouls
they're like pencils, sort of.
Yeah, it's
or like color pencils.
Also, the proportions of them are just so fucked. It looks like his legs twist like three times.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that was like a page turn, and I was reading it like just panel to panel. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
It's like a jump scare.
Yeah, right by her face. I'm like that.
Yeah, and like this is like the second page too. So I immediately turn the page, and it's like, boom, here's your ghoul. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
we're getting right into it, aren't we? But then she wakes up from her dream, and Aisha is with her mother-in-law. Are they married? Aisha and Tom.
I don't see a ring.
Okay. All right. So her husband's her boyfriend's mom, Leslie.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend's daughter, Chris. So she's not related to these people directly because they're white and she's Muslim. But they are like they're having like a good time until Aisha's boyfriend, Tom, comes in and he like breaks it up. And then Tom's like, I don't trust my mom. She's being nice and she's not normally nice.
Yeah.
And
Nathan, a really cool thing is that they're baking a cake.
I know, it's a Sarlacc pit cake.
Yeah, it's a bundt cake, and then they make the Sarlacc pit in the middle, or the Sarlacc pit in the middle.
That's super cool.
And it's genius.
Yeah, and then I like how the grandma's like, I don't know what this is, but you guys like it, so I'm gonna keep doing it. And that's definitely like a grandma.
If I don't get this for my birthday, I'm gonna be pissed.
Yeah, she's like, what is this? A Sarlacc pit? What is this?
Yeah.
It's like when like grandma would all like them Pokemans and stuff.
Yeah.
they just get the name like a little bit wrong. Right. Sarlacc pit. God. And so we find out after Aisha talks with her friend Medina that Leslie made like some racist remarks that Aisha is like still trying to look past because she saw Chris, the daughter, wearing like a hijab. And she was like making some really insensitive remarks about that, but she's still trying to like look past it. And then she talks about how like her mom basically disowned her for getting married to white folk instead of a Muslim person. And so that creates tensions in like her family and stuff. All very relevant, I would say.
Yeah.
I've definitely known people that share the same like sentiment. And then that night Aisha is ambushed by a demon thing and she's like freaking out, but she snaps out of it and she finds that she's almost stabbed her boyfriend's mom, Leslie.
Yeah, she does like stab like her shirt, but it goes like straight through it.
Yeah, luckily, like, I don't know, that grandma must have like snap reflexes because she like put her arms up and like the knife blade went through her shirt.
Yeah, in a hole. Or like her nightgown or whatever.
And this ghoul that we see is fucking disgusting.
I know, look at his dick.
He's got like a dick, and I don't even know what's going on there. I zoomed in to try and figure it out, but it's just, it's all messed up. But he's just like gross proportions, and you like see his rib cage up top, and then he's got this like weird beer belly.
Yeah.
Know? His face looks like it's melting, but he looks like the dad from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Watch that. He's the guy with like the mustache and his eyes are always closed.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he looks like that, but a scary melted version.
Face, no lips. Oh, this one's foul.
Like,
yeah, I love the artwork in this is like it's top so tier. It's it so is, sick for it's perfect for horror.
It's amazing. Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know what it is, but long arms like always just communicate horror, I feel like.
Yeah. What were we reading? Night of the Ghoul. Of the Ghoul, it was just that? This thing with long limbs. I'm like, ew.
Get it out.
Creepy. I don't like that.
Yeah. Get it out.
And I like how the demon still shows up like after the fact, after Aisha like snaps out of her dream or whatever. It still shows up in the blade of the knife too.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's in Grandma or whatever.
Grandma Leslie. Not Grandma Leslie.
Yeah. And so... that's what I immediately thought, but that turns out that's not the case.
It's not the case unless you interpret it that way, which I guess you could, but...
looking back, I guess it could be true,
I have my own theories about it.
But, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we will talk about it. But really, like, strong first issue. I like the coloring, like, at night as well, because everything's, like, super blue, and she's, like, very shocked at the end of, like, what she's doing. She doesn't know what's going on.
Shadows.
Yeah. And so... yeah, pretty solid first issue.
These have some great covers to them.
Yeah.
They
remind me like Dave McKean covers almost.
Yeah, definitely.
But super good. And so in chapter 2, Aisha thinks that like these visions and dreams that she's having are from her, caused by like her pills. And yeah. So she gets her medication lowered. And then we find out from a conversation with Medina and her friends that the building that they live in had like this bombing that happened.
Right.
Which is really weird.
Yeah, they say it in the first issue, and there's like a whole level that she like walks through where she starts like seeing stuff and hearing stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like all charred and like burnt and stuff, but like the building's still standing, yeah. Which is crazy.
It's because it was a building that was built back in the day when they would make like a concrete foundation and rather than like a wooden foundation, I guess. And that's how they explain it.
But I think it's so concrete or metal framing.
Or maybe that's what it was, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so is it only, like, the middle of the building, I guess? Or was it, like...
I guess
it's the bottom.
Because on top, there's people, like, above that were, like, fine. And they're like, that was weird.
What was that?
I don't know. I feel like for buildings...
Probably towards the bottom.
Like, apartment buildings, those would still have, like, super secure structures, you know? Like,
you'd be surprised.
If I can guess. But anyway.
So, yeah, there was a bombing that happened. And there's a scene in here where, like, all the friends are talking, and then, like, a demon comes up, like, kind of behind the plant. And I think it's supposed to be, like, a jump scare. But it's really funny trying to make a jump scare in comics because there's not, like, I don't know, the audio aspect of it to, like, make the scary noise and stuff if something comes up. But it's, like, when there's, like, a demon face behind, like, the plant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Aisha's like, what the fuck? It's kind of funny to, like, try and make a jump scare, you know?
Yeah, I've seen it work before. I think, like, in issue 1, it worked. You know, it wasn't necessarily, like, you're going to jump yourself. Yeah. But it's definitely going to kind of shock your senses. You're like, oh, here we go. Because okay, it's just so different. Something you're not expecting, you know?
Yeah.
Which is something that kind of sucks with horror comics. Because, like, I don't know, people might like a horror movie because it has a lot of jump scares.
Yeah, I think movies, when it comes to horror, are definitely... the best medium, I think, for horror. It's hard because with, I guess, movies and video games, you're just more engaged and
sure.
Like
a lot more random.
There's more like senses, I guess, that your body's using. Because yeah, when it's like a movie, you're watching and listening and stuff. Or with a game, you're also interacting. So it's kind of hard in comics, which is why. It's like good horror comics are kind of few and far between, I feel like.
When you see like the whole page, it kind of like stands out. And so you're like, oh, you kind of like look at it and then like you read. And then once you get to the part, it's just like, oh.
I don't think this was necessarily supposed to scare you, but more so communicate that like She's having these weird visions, like even after her medication.
Yeah.
And so at least maybe that's what they were trying to communicate. But it seemed like it was supposed to be a jump scare.
I think what comics really has to do is like really hone in on like the creepy concepts and stuff like that, definitely. And not have something that relies on jump scares in order to be good, you know?
Loud noises and stuff like
that. Yeah, I think like, just like creepy imagery is like really the only thing you can do.
Yeah, like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre wouldn't work as well in like a comic book, I don't think.
No, but...
I feel like they do really good with that though, like the random like how it's just random right here.
Yeah,
like that's cool. Really good.
The visual aspect of it, for sure, is a lot better.
And like it's so different from the art style that they're doing.
Because if that was trying to happen in like movies, it would be like a weird CGI thing maybe, and wouldn't look as good, especially with horror movies typically being like lower budget. So, yeah, I think definitely like the scary visuals and stuff is where comic books would excel.
Right.
But so later, Aisha has like another episode with demons like attacking that force her to hit Chris. And then eventually she's brought out into the hallway by Leslie, the grandma, where Aisha gets scared into pushing her own boyfriend's mom and
her own boyfriend's daughter.
Yeah, but like those two like down the stairs. And I like audibly gasped when I saw that panel where she's like gets pushed down the stairs, because I'm like, no, this is going to fuck everything up. And she dies in this scene. Pretty much. And I think it's really interesting because I think we were being led to believe that there's like a demon inside of her, was like lying to Aisha's face because of what Tom's been saying. And so it's really interesting that we were kind of like looking at her as like the antagonist.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. I also think that she was really trying.
Yeah. She doesn't want
to. Isn't like super racist and like hate Aisha. I think she's really trying and like has like some of these thoughts of like racism that she's trying to like.
She said, like, teach yourself out of doing.
Yeah, that's, yeah, she seemed very compassionate. And if there are, like, racist, I guess, thoughts or feelings that she has, she's trying to, like, step away from that, you know?
Yeah, I think she's just probably, when you're that old, I guess, you're just kind of raised in a certain way, and it's just kind of how you come up. And
natural.
Yeah, and so that can... And not it can as, be kind of be hard to try and like be progressive like later in life, I guess.
Yeah.
Or just change your way of thinking completely.
This time when the demons start attacking Aisha, they start like yelling these like racial slurs and stuff.
Yeah.
Like towel head whore and like killer and stuff. It is like really brutal.
Oh, yeah.
And I like that each ghoul has like their own design, because that would be really... hard to do, I imagine.
And yeah, one has like droopy titties.
Yeah, we got another droopy titties on ghoul.
One's a freaking churro.
One's a churro. Very good designs here. They're just so uniquely gross, and I think that's really impressive. But yeah, so Aisha gets scared and pushes the grandma and the kid downstairs. So in chapter 3, we get like a childhood memory of Aisha's, and it's like when her dad like just died, and Aisha's worried about like her mom. Without like the balance of understanding that she had like with her dad, because like her mom is like very strict typically, and I don't think I've ever seen a flashback to a character as a child that is drawn like a child drew it, and I think that's really creative.
Yeah, I liked it. It was fun.
Yeah, because it's like, I don't know, her thoughts and stuff and her understanding of her feelings are very like premature, and so I think that. Exploring it this way is really cool.
And, like, if you're a beginner at comic books, it kind of, like, makes you, like, it's understanding.
Yeah,
like, it helps. And then, like, the next panel is them now, and it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a cool transition.
I know where I am.
Because it might even be, like, confusing to be, like, just showing some kids in this, like, in this art style. Because you're like, who the fuck are these kids?
Yeah. You
know? Like, now I got to remember like, who these happened? Kids are.
And then they, like, have to forcibly say, like, Aisha, come here, or whatever, you know, in order to be like, oh, it's a flashback.
Like, yeah. The little panel where they're like, she was 13 or something.
Yeah.
Like
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. 15 years ago.
Or it's like, then, you know.
Then.
And then it goes to now.
So, you know? A good old case of show, don't tell. We love
this
we
one's kind of that. Obvious about it.
Yeah.
I wonder if he was like self-conscious about his like child drawings. He's like, is this good enough?
I think he did really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if a child drew this, I'd be like, you're fucking really good at this.
Like, wow, you know? You should keep drawing.
So dude. It's like a good, it's like a child that's good at drawing is like making comics.
Pretty decent proportions, you know? Yeah.
But like, you know how like Tom King would like draw things sometimes?
Oh, way better than Tom King.
There was a writer who like wrote Batman and stuff, and whenever he'd sign things, people would ask him like draw something. He'd draw like a little stick man Batman, and it's like really bad. At one point, he even drew what was supposed to be a kid's drawing that they then put into the comic book, and it's like, here's my kid's drawing, and it was actually the writer drawing.
It's like him signing someone's book.
Oh my God.
It's just like ruining this comic.
Absolutely awful, yeah.
Let me see it. It's his Batman.
I'm obsessed. Yeah, it's so good. I would be so happy if he did that.
Yeah, at one
because like these like blank covers go for like a lot of money because like actual artists will like
sketch something on
draw whatever they want on it, and it like the value just goes up, and then he just draws some shit like that.
That's worth a lot of money now.
Yeah, maybe. I wonder if you can get that like graded.
It's very specific. I think he's like posted one before.
That's funny. That was like graded?
Yeah.
That's funny.
But it's just like such a very specific fan base of people who want his books like that.
They're like, there's this comic book with amazing art in it, and I want you to draw on top of that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Aisha and Chris are in comas in the hospital now in the present, and they don't really know what's going on with Aisha because, well, they know that Chris is in a coma because she fell down some stairs, right? But Aisha is like, she's got these weird things going on with like her eyes are all red and stuff.
At the end of issue 2, she was like dragged away into like the darkness. So we don't really know what happens to her like physically.
But she's in like a comatose like state.
Right.
And Tom is there and he just has to deal with the death of his mom and the potential loss of his kid and his girlfriend.
Right.
All at once, which is a lot to process.
Kind of a shit day.
And they mentioned that he didn't get like any sleep at all.
Yeah, he didn't get any sleep. And
cherry
then,
on top.
You know, to make it worse, Tom goes to like Medina and he's like, why didn't you protect them? And
I'm
like,
feel
I told you to
so
watch them.
I told you to watch them. And
bad.
I'm
like, are you shitting me?
It's happening in like the middle of the night. What am I supposed to be in the stairway?
Yeah.
Exactly,
like, right. I understand like Tom had probably a pretty bad night. So like that's probably, he's very stressed out at the moment. So
especially
I understand
if he like did ask her to like watch
specifically,
her. Yeah.
Like, I just told you to keep him safe.
And she was like, she's a grown woman. She can handle herself. And then this happens. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also like Medina also, I guess, justifies it as Aisha like never really asks for help at all. Right. So if she even had like the smallest like inkling that she was in trouble, I guess, then she would have helped. There's like that random group of friends that they were talking with Medina in the beginning of the book. And they are all talking about like the shit that happened. And they're talking about like the bombing. Now, someone in the building allegedly saw Aisha push Chris and Leslie down the stairs, and then they discuss if that's racist or not, pretty much. So, like, this is where, like, a lot of the, like, conversation about race happens, and I feel like it feels really natural because the characters that are, like, outside of the situation, they seem, like, hesitant to talk about it and, like, make it a race thing. But then, like, they dive deeper on, like, what they think happened, and I feel like the whole conversation feels really natural and like it's pretty impressive to me.
Yeah, it's like healthy, you know, as like the people in these character, the people in this book, you know, like talking about that and like just kind of getting like feelers for how different people would react to certain things. And then also like reading that from like a writer who's like an Asian man. Yeah. And so it's like a good perspective. And so he's probably face shit like that. Yeah. And so it's kind of just opening up like a dialogue in this book, and just kind of helps give an understanding of like where Aisha's at and like Medina and everyone here.
Yeah. He does a really good job of like integrating race into his work. Cause with the Good Asian, he does like all the, the Chinese culture and stuff like that, which he doesn't go into here in this book specifically. Cause I don't think it's as relevant of like, cause it's not like a period piece or whatever. But like, I don't expect him. She mentions Ramadan in this as well, which is like a Muslim thing.
Yeah.
So I just think that it's cool that he integrates as much of like Muslim culture in here as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a diverse cast, which is cool.
Yeah.
And just kind of gives like all kind of perspectives.
Yeah. So I just like that they dive into that conversation with like some of the outside characters, and they're like, well, this person who's white said that the Muslim person pushed him down the stairs, but she's saying that because she's white. And she doesn't like Muslims, and then it's like, you know, it's all that conversation.
And it's like a hot topic because like this building had an explosion in it.
Yeah. With a man that happened to be Muslim.
Right.
And so It's like, do you get suspicious of more Muslims now? Or is that, you know, so there's all of that in there. One of the guys in that friend group finds a book full of markings from another person in that building named Arthur, who I guess practiced like occult rituals. And then Medina goes to talk to the person that reported Aisha to the police. And Medina starts to see the same like demon visions, which at the same time like triggers reactions in Aisha. It's like a pretty big development that a different character is seeing like the same demons and stuff. So now you know, like, okay, it's not like a meds thing. You know, she's not going crazy.
Yeah, I feel like that's so relieving. Like, not even for Aisha, but for like the reader. Because I'm like, okay, she's not crazy. They see it too.
Yeah, it's more people.
It's like a kid like being like, there's a fucking ghost in here or some shit. And then the parents like, ah.
Yeah.
And then they see it. I'm like, she told you or whatever.
I always think it's tough to approach like a, is this real or are they just crazy? You know, because that's always like, it could go either way. But I like that they revealed this now because I'm like, okay, now we can figure out what's going on.
And now we can figure out how to stop the shit.
It's not going to be like revealed at the very, very end, you know?
Right.
Which I feel like in some cases it works well, but it's annoying most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Or like, what was that movie? Like The Invisible Man?
Yeah.
Like that girl was like going crazy and he's like, there's an invisible guy. And they're like,
guys, in that chair,
I don't see anything.
Oh, the situation of like Medina thinking that the blonde girl is just being racist is interesting because that blonde girl's like really is like just telling the truth. Like she, honest to God, like saw Aisha push like Leslie and Chris down the stairs. And then Medina's like, no, you're just like racist. You're building this narrative in your head, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of an interesting perspective.
Like, she's like, excuse me, are you calling me racist? Because fuck you. Like,
like what? Good point, good point. Also, this
demon. She got
demon,
you there.
This demon is fucking weird because it's got like a double mouth.
What's that one?
The wall demon?
Oh my God.
Wall demon, yeah. Like at the like third to last page of this issue, it is fucking
gross. Dude needs some chapstick.
Eyes are different.
He does need some chapstick, yeah. His eyes are awful.
Nose looks like dad's nose. I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow. Foul.
Also, like, what is
the
happening?
The burns for people who can't defend themselves.
What's happening with Aisha? Her, like, eyes start bleeding. And why are her lips so powdery? She needs chapstick, too.
No, I know. I saw that. I was like, ew, what the?
Wait, is that?
This one?
That is Aisha?
Oh,
it's Aisha, yeah.
She's dehydrated.
It must be, yeah.
I've never seen someone's lips
like that. But also, I think, like, these, like, ghouls somehow still have, like, a chokehold on her. And that's why she's in, like, that coma.
I think so, yeah.
And so, her friend, like, reacting to these things is kind of releasing her from that. Mm-hmm. And so I guess maybe it's like actually a physical thing where they're like in her somehow and like making her sick. And
I think so.
So that's what racism is, Nathan. It's a plague.
It gets stuck in you.
Yeah.
I think. I think that's the theme
it makes
here.
Makes you sick.
it's a plague, Daniel.
That's
we need to cure it.
Yeah.
Justice. I don't know. So in issue 4, after Aisha had that stroke thing or whatever, she now probably won't make it through the night. And so that sucks. And so the two...
Damn.
Damn.
The two like random friend guys investigate Arthur Quinn like ritual stuff. And they find out from like some random guy that I guess knew him that he believed in an invisible realm of pure emotion personified that would affect us in their own conflict, in their own realm. But like, so I think the idea is like, joy is personified in like this invisible realm and hate is personified in this invisible realm and whatever they're doing in their realm affects like our emotions and in our realm. I think that's the idea or like what this guy believes in. And so he tried creating a rift to bring them into our reality. And that's what those markings and stuff were. And the only way to fight them off is with a thing that someone would habitually channel emotion into and through. And so Medina's like, great, well, I'll just find that.
Perfect.
Okay, I was like,
so I think I was
falling asleep reading this issue because I did not get all that.
Yeah, so it's,
me neither.
I think it's a great concept like, because this is where I think it ties it into like racism is like a emotion fueled by like hate.
Right.
You know? And so whenever they pop up, I think it's supposed to be, at least the way that I interpreted it, is like whoever's like being racist to that person is feeling those emotions of like hate towards them that are like completely unjustified. But since there's this like rift in this realm and like the hate monsters are coming through, it happens to pop up when someone's like being racist or thinking racist thoughts or whatever.
Right.
I don't think that that's completely one to one because there's times when demons will just come up randomly. So
yeah.
But I think that's like the concept. So they go back to the apartment to get Aisha's misbaha. It's like a necklace thing that she would use and like pray with. And so that's the thing that she like channels her emotions through to fight off these demons. And then also like Tom's friend went to the apartment for some reason. They're like, well, I guess we got to fucking save him now. So they get attacked by demons, which leads to both Medina's friend and Tom's friend dying from demon people. And it just so happens that Tom, the only white man in this, you know, the remaining cast list, comes in and he's like, why are both of these friends dead? And why are you alive? You must have killed them.
Why is this guy super chopped up?
Why are they both dead?
Why do you have blood on you?
Yeah, so a very unfortunate situation.
That's tough.
So lots of demons we see here, which are really cool. One of them's like a goop demon or a goop ghoul.
Oh, yeah.
Which is neat. And then there's this like guy that has a mouth on the back of his head that chomps on like Medina's friend.
Yeah.
That guy's fucking weird.
That was something.
And it's just like a classic situation of just wrong place, wrong time. Tom shows up and he's like, what the fuck?
Is he going back?
Like his friend was taking too long. They needed like Aisha's medical file or something. And so I guess Tom's like, you should go to my apartment and go get it. And I guess it took him a while.
Like, God, I'll just do it myself.
Yeah, he's like, fuck it. They need it, so I'll just go get it. And so that's kind of what happened. So then last issue, chapter 5, we get like the origin of the building bombing.
Yeah.
Like kind of how that happened, which is some disgruntled white people. And they're like in that same building. And they're like, this guy in 4D, he's Muslim, but he's also weird. And so I don't like him. And so they're annoyed with like him keeping his stuff like in the hallways. And so when they try to like open his stuff to prove that he's like dangerous, that's when the explosion happens.
Yeah, there's like a bomb in one of the boxes.
Yeah.
And they like trip and it falls and boom.
It was dynamite.
And then that also triggered like other bombs to go off. And so there's a bigger boom.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it looks like a middle floor. It's like the second to last.
Yeah, because they walk.
I feel like this.
Some stairs.
I feel like this floor explosion is like a little underwhelming. I'm like, I feel like it should be like insane.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not. It doesn't destroy the whole building. So it's got to be like somewhat tame, I guess.
Sure.
I feel like they could have added more.
Like the one on the inside looks like a fucking supernova. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it kind of just looks like that middle floor gets a little bit of heat.
Yeah,
it's a little hot, so don't touch it.
It's a lot.
It's like someone left the stove on or some shit like that.
Yeah, basically. And it's this whole like flashback is also drawn differently, which is good because it helps kind of split up timelines and stuff.
Yeah, it's super interesting.
But there's some straight up racist conversations in here as well.
Super racist.
It's just a bunch of
these people suck.
These people are awful. And they're talking about like how a black person got the job that I was going for. Because he's black and not because he's more qualified than I am, because I'm definitely more qualified.
Yeah.
And I always think that that's like the worst argument to be made when you're talking about like job equality.
Yeah.
Because like obviously in a perfect world where there's no racism, it's the person that's would be most qualified would probably get the job, but that's not realistic. And so they try, like there's laws out there to give indigenous people of color like those jobs so that they aren't so to like combat some of the racist like systems that are already in place like systemically. So I always just hate that people that are pretty racist and like hate those laws for whatever reason are like, well, it should just be who's most qualified.
Right.
It just diminishes it down to like such a stupid conversation. So present, Tom thinks that Medina killed them both. And so he's like, well, I gotta stop this because you're obviously the one that killed my mom and my daughter.
So I'm going to punch you in the face.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to hit you. And then Medina's like, oh, stop. I'll explain everything. And then he hits him with like a 2x4.
Yeah.
It happens to have a nail at the end. And I'm like, oh, fuck. You didn't check.
You killed another guy.
This was so bad. I was literally like, oh, wow.
The rip in like his cheek.
I was like,
ooh, fuck. That does look bad.
I was like, okay, so he's not dead. So that's good.
You couldn't have hit him with like.
I'd be sitting there in pain. I would not go after him. Yeah. Like, well,
he just like got this rage that like blocks out the pain. Apparently,
that's the thing. It's because he's like sleep deprived. He's like
probably he's a little adrenaline. Probably a little loopy at this
he's
point.
He's trying to find an answer to what he's looking for.
Yeah, I just like how unlucky it was. It's like, oh, fuck, the thing that I picked up has a nail in it. I didn't mean to hurt him that bad. You know,
family's dead. My friends are dead. Dina's not Mowgli.
Dina's having a pretty unlucky time right now.
Right.
And so she, like, runs away. Like, all the ghouls and stuff are coming in as well.
Baby comes out of the ceiling.
Yeah.
I was really laughing at this earlier. I don't know if y'all saw it, but I was like, what the
fuck? I didn't know what that was. I don't know.
Looks like the baby's at Spirit Halloween.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're
They're
right.
They're just, like, crawling.
Maybe that's what he referenced when he was drawing this one.
Probably.
But he just, like, Aaron Campbell goes all out with some of these demons. Like, some of them are just, like, a jumbled mess of just, like, ghoul and demon and stuff.
Yeah, it's like he just, like, had an idea and put them all together.
He just, like, starts drawing and, like, doesn't stop, it seems like, for some of them.
These are, like, some anime, like, demons.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. So, she's, like, running away. The necklace, like, the Misbaha thing that she was trying to get to Aisha gets destroyed. And so, Medina's only chance is to try and, like, destroy the building, I guess. With, like, a gas leak explosion.
Uh-huh.
And so she goes to the basement. She, like, knocks out the gas line. There's a bunch of gas up in the air. And then Tom, like, almost kills her, but gets blown away by Arthur Quinn, who's, like, the guy that did the rituals and stuff initially.
Oh, that was him?
That was him. Okay. Yeah, and then he leaves. And then Medina shoots a gun and triggers the explosion for the whole building.
It was cool.
What's weird is that Arthur has, like, the smallest story arc of all time. Like,
he
in this
literally
book.
Goes in there, kills him, and then leaves.
And he leaves, and he's like...
She's like, you need to get out, you need to get out. And she's like, okay. Like, so he's not, like, helping her or anything.
He doesn't have any dialogue. He just wrote some, like, some drawings and some books, and he's like, oh, fuck, I fucked up. Maybe if I shoot this guy, it'll help.
Yeah.
And then he just leaves.
He fires 3 shots, and he's like, is he okay? I'm like... no! What do you mean?
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. That is pretty funny.
The thing is, he, like, doesn't... That was such, like, a weird thing in it, because it was just like he was there, he shot him, and now he's gone.
Well, yeah, she was gonna blow up the place, and she was like, "Get the fuck out!" So yeah. I get why he was gone so quickly.
But
for him to be a character in this book that, like, started all of this, and he has, like, 4 panels, like, in this book, you know, it seems that's, like, the thing that I'm confused about. Like, what is his deal? Why was he doing these rituals?
I don't think he, like, summoned the demons to be there.
I don't think he meant to, but, like, the fact that the demons are here because of this guy and he's played such a small part in the story just seems a little strange to me.
I think you're putting more value to him than he actually, like,
he's the one that really started it.
He is, yeah, I guess he, I mean, like, the more important
thing. He's still
saying
that those realms are still there, like the hate realms or whatever and stuff like that. So it's not like he accessed them unless they did verbatimly say that. But
yeah. Well, he tried to, like, create that rift, but I don't know what his goals there were. So that's right. Like the thing that confuses me. But obviously, the thing that's more important is that these demons are a thing that are fueled by hate, and that's, like, what their explanation is. So that's, like, more important, obviously.
What was cool is when she's, like, running down the stairs and, like, trying to get into the basement or whatever, like, other people in the apartment, like, see the monsters as well.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, so she's not just this crazy bitch, like, running around screaming, you know?
It's like other people that are, like, non-white.
Yeah.
Specifically, which I think is interesting. I also love this panel with Tom at, like, the bottom of the stairs, and there's, like, the ghoul, like, on top of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That looks so
kind of, like,
so
controlling
sick.
Controlling him.
Yeah. It's just, like, a really cool panel, and I think that the choices that he made for, like, shading and stuff is really cool.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that explosion happens. Everything, like, goes white. And then there's, like, some closing stuff about, like, Aisha and Chris are, like, they're okay now, but they now have to live with Aisha's, like, strict mom, and she has to learn to, like, trust her mom again, and that, and then also the demons are still there in that building, probably. And that's the end of the book.
I thought the wrap-up was, like, a little long. Like, I didn't think it was bad, but I think maybe a page shorter, you know?
I think the reason that it felt long is because it was very literally, like, the characters telling you what lessons should be learned.
Right.
But I like the way that they did it because it's the kid drawing of, like, Aisha, like, walking with her and being like, you should trust your mom, you know, maybe she's just trying her best or whatever.
Yeah.
I think the way that they did it was really effective because it was cool seeing just, like, the child drawing have her, like, help her through those revelations, you know?
You, like, come back from that, though. Like, I feel like I saw all those things and I went to the hospital for it. Like, I would not.
You just gotta go
same.
To work the next day.
Yeah. You gotta, like, draw with your fucking, like, sister. Like, no.
Racism is a traumatizing thing, Serena. You know,
act like everything's right.
Yeah.
What something that they kind of mentioned was when she's like in the basement, she like acknowledges one of the ghouls as like one of the
people that died in the explosion. Died.
Yeah, one of the racist people.
Yeah, one of the racists.
And then like it like stopped for a second. So I guess like each one maybe like represented someone who died in that explosion.
Yeah.
Because of like, and they also say at the end, like different cultural religions or like, I don't know, beliefs, like ancient beliefs where like, if I guess in Japan, if you are died, if you are killed like voluntarily, like your spirit can still like kind of have like vengeance to it. And so, and he just, they talk about like different cultures and how it kind of relates to what happened here. And I thought that was fun.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. So yeah, that's how they wrap it up.
Yeah, not as infidel. And we got Back Matter Matters.
Yes, sir.
Back Matter Matters. Nathan, some top-notch Back Matter here.
Yes, we actually have some good stuff.
What do we got, like 30 pages?
We have an afterword by Jeff Lemire that I didn't read all the way through, but he's like, this is a good book, and I do horror books sometimes, so
yeah, so it's pretty good. You got to trust me what I say.
It's a lot of value,
yeah,
what I'm saying. He does say some nice things, though, but it is a nice afterword.
It's not, it's not just like his review of his other book where it's just fantastic.
Yeah, we saw a review by the same guy, and like literally that was his quote on like the book, fantastic.
Yeah, other people like... Oh, it's
this is good. This is good. Yeah,
like, this is revolutionary. The most important book of this decade. Yeah. Fantastic.
Well, he's a big name, so it's like, okay, I guess we'll put
that
up there.
Write that down.
Yeah. Got some...
Oh my God, did you hear what he said?
Okay, print that right now.
Quote it, quote it.
Put it at the top.
We got some cover galleries, which we love. We see Jay Lee, who I think is not on enough stuff because he's really good.
He's doing something right now, I think, like Seventh Son or something like that. I think it's some image
thing. He's doing?
I don't know if he's doing the interiors, but I see his covers, and I always think it's Frank Quietly.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, his shit's cool.
He's got similar style. I like this one because the demon pretty creepy in the background, and Aisha's like stare is very very strong. David Mack, love some watercoloring with him.
Oh, that's just kind of awesome.
Sus in this one. I'm not gonna lie.
Damn, that glue's thick.
Kind of zesty.
God damn.
What is that one? Oh, this one. Yeah, that demon's like trying to spoon with him.
Why is he like grabbing?
He's trying to get some action.
Literally.
Yeah. What is crazy to me is that this book was like 5 issues, right? And it's crazy to me that they get like all these variants, and I feel like. really good artists do variants on like really good books. I'm like, how do they know it's so good so fast? You know what I mean?
I know.
It's like they must have got like copies early. They're like, you want to do a cover of this? We're good.
Jeff Lemire did a cover.
Yeah. Always interesting to look cool. at.
But there's like a bunch.
Which is cool. And it's like a lot of people that I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, students from the class of fantasy art at the Maryland Institute College of Art. That's crazy.
Sweet. And then we see a couple cover processes, which is sweet. I like seeing what he initially thinks his cover will be and like what he makes the composition and then what he ends up going with.
Yeah.
Because it could go like a million different ways for sure.
Yeah, I like what they went with though.
And then they like were exploring like some of the different colors that they could do.
All the hands that they could go with.
Yeah. They have to have the middle finger out, I guess.
Yeah, gang sign.
Yeah.
It kind of does.
Goodbye.
And then the original pitch of Infidel, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, dude.
You don't see that a lot, but
you,
like
never see it.
People that are like trying to learn from Back Matter, I feel like never see like a pitch for the actual book.
Yeah.
And I think that's because it could probably change from like pitch to concept.
Sure.
Was that one in there?
It might have been.
Yeah, I think there was one that like stands backwards and shit. Look at his toes. Or look at just his feet, like standing up all weird.
Yeah, tons of character designs.
I love just like character concept work.
Oh, so they call them ghosts here. Maybe it is a ghost. I just forced this in to say ghoul.
They say demon at some point as well, so I don't know. It's like all sorts. I like this one that's just a big head and it's got just like random limbs coming off of it.
Yeah.
Like there is some fucked up stuff.
And gum.
Like I always think
looks like
gum. It kind of does look like gum.
You're done with it.
It's always crazy because they spend like hours doing this.
Yeah.
Do they have fun? Do they ever get in like a state where like I'm just drawing fucked up shit and now I feel icky.
He's just like, woo, make some out of that.
Does he have, I don't know, do they have fun or do they ever feel
like, oh, that's icky? Creepy. I should add in more.
Yeah. Aaron Campbell from his biopic looks a little grumpy.
A little grumpy.
He must, he's like, that took forever.
So he's, what has he been on? He's been on Batman, Harley Quinn, James Bond, Sherlock Holmes, The Shadow, and Green Hornet. Interesting.
Wow.
He drew the book, like all of it. It's got the colorist and the letterer. And that's it. That's the book.
Alrighty.
And what would you rate this book?
I'd give it a love it. I think there's like a Funfetti ice cream. I know this wasn't like a Funfetti kind of book, but I like,
have fun with this.
I like fucking love Funfetti, you know? So like, yeah. It's a very, that's just kind of bonus points to the love it, you know? So that's where I put it at, you know?
Yes.
Nothing spooky to go along with it as far as my rating.
I'll give it also, I think a love it, but a Neapolitan ice cream. Because of all the diverse cast that's in here.
Ah, and
everybody hates the vanilla part. And in here, you generally just don't like the white people in this book. So
yeah.
That's what I'll give it.
And strawberry people were represented.
Yeah, exactly. Perfectly. What would you rate it, Serena?
The sizes again?
You could do just, so you could do any interesting food sizes that aren't just like small, medium, and large.
You could do like Starbucks with like Starbucks. A venti or something. Ooh, okay, or a tall.
You could do like, we've done like
Canes.
Raisin Canes.
With like a Caniac combo or like, or like a box.
Pizza sizes. But we like to, I mean, obviously as we talk about the book, people know what our opinions are of it, but just give it like an overall rating, but equate it to food. That's the fun part.
Okay, the food I was going to do was Red Velvet for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. I like that actually. I
love Red Velvet. Like, the white on top, but it's all red. Like, I feel like, I don't know why. I just like immediately thought of it.
Because white people and they're evil on the inside.
Yeah, exactly.
And delicious.
And the color, the color's crazy.
The color, they're very red. It looks very bloody.
So a slice of.
But an overall tasty experience.
I think a medium slice of red velvet cake.
Okay, nice.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing bundt cakes. Have you had their red velvet?
Oh, so fucking so good.
I met somebody that owned a. Bundt cakes today. Or
that's cool.
This week.
Did you ask for some Bundt cakes?
No, but they're opening a new location near me, and I'm like,
very cool.
Sounds really good right now. I don't know.
Get the everything crumble cookie.
Oh, that'd be that'd be a good rating.
I saw like this people, TikTok like, throw of that someone shit away.
Everything.
Yeah, it's like the everything bagel, but it's
cookie.
Like a cookie.
Oh,
yeah.
I saw someone do a review on it, and they're like, that shit's ass. Like,
I guess like all the special ones from this month are like terrible. Which is like crazy to hear.
Cause yeah, normally they're really good.
I love how they always have the chocolate chip one. Like, if you're like, if you don't want any of that, so, then so like
we need to
make
money
chip.
Still.
Yeah, some people are just simple.
Dude, they have this like fucking peanut butter cookie with like a ton of like chocolate frosting, and it's like always fresh. Like, it hasn't hardened yet. So good. It's crack.
So good.
I don't care if it's like 500 calories a cookie. I want it.
Yeah.
So good. What do you rate, Nathan? Did you give it a rating?
I already gave my rating. Neapolitan.
All right.
Let's get into.
Yeah, what do you rate it?
She already said a rating.
Okay.
Where have you been
okay?
The last 5 minutes?
Are you okay?
All right. We get into the pull list. Colon.
Open your box.
All right. The pull list. The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Dream, did you pick up comic books this week?
What'd you get?
I got
nothing.
Yeah, light week for me as well.
Light week.
Very light.
I only picked up Daredevil number 4. Mm-hmm. Do a power bomb, whatever one that's on.
5. Got that as well.
Jurassic League, which is the Justice League but dinosaurs. It's really good. The final issue that came out.
6?
6, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
You've been talking about this comic book.
I love it. It's honestly so good, and it does not deserve to be this good.
Really?
Like, I picked it up because I'm like, this is going to be so stupid, but I'm going to have so much fun. And it is so stupid, and I'm having a blast reading it.
So much fun.
Yeah, because it's just, like, so dumb how they relate everything to just, like, dinosaurs.
And it works so well.
Like, Metropolis is named, like, Metropolis. And it's so stupid. But you could tell that, like, the energy of them having fun making it was into the comic book. So I enjoy that. Also, they came out with Star Wars Visions comic book, and they came out with the samurai guy.
The Ronin.
The Ronin guy, yeah.
Yeah, so this is actually a sequel to that episode.
Yeah, I was hoping Duel. So. I was hoping I didn't get duped again and then buy another Mandalorian comic that was just like the same thing.
It's just the episode.
Yeah, but yeah. In a comic book form. Because I thought that was bullshit when they did that with the Mandalorian.
Because I looked that up first before I bought it.
That's good, yeah. But those are the only things I picked up this week.
So the only thing I didn't get that you did get was Star Wars The High Republic, number one.
Another one?
It's even higher Republic, Nathan.
Oh, wow.
This is the issue where Star Wars does a Star Wars, where it's another prequel to this prequel book.
That sounds like way too
much. So it's even further in the past, Nathan.
The highest Republic.
Yeah, the highest of Republics.
That's so dumb.
And also, I thought it was going to be like a light week. I'm like, all right, cool, getting like three books. Going to save some money. We like it. But my shop decided to put the new Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips book, Follow Me Down, and the hardcover of the Reckless series.
Oh, cool.
It's the fifth one. I haven't read any of them.
So you picked up the fifth one?
They gave it to me. I couldn't put it back, and I wanted it.
Are you going to read one through four?
They gave it to me. What?
So are you going to read one through four?
I'm going to read one through five, Nathan, eventually.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah, that makes sense.
So I have 1, 4, and 5, so...
So you're doing well.
It's going to take a minute to get caught up, and more money to get caught up.
You're already over halfway through now, so, and you haven't even touched it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
I touched it because I picked it up to buy it. Anyway.
Unreal.
Yeah, so I got that.
I didn't read anything really this week other than the book because I was on a vacation.
Oh, true. All right, I forgive you.
Yeah. Did watch the things.
And I read Sergeant Rock versus the Army of the Dead.
Oh, was it good?
It's pretty fun. It's great. he sets it in like World War II, so they're just like Nazi zombies. I'm like, perfect. Great choice.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is a good choice.
But yeah, it's really good. I didn't realize that Bruce Campbell, he's a New York Times bestselling writer.
Is it this book?
No.
Sergeant Rock versus Army of the Dead?
No. Do you remember? Have you seen any of the Evil Dead movies? No. Do you know? You know either. Of them though?
I don't know. Wait, what is it about?
Evil Dead. They're like kind of like zombies, I guess.
Like campy.
But anyway, what did we watch other than the things I told you to watch?
Yeah. What were you watching, Serena?
Yeah. What have you watched?
What have you been binging?
Yeah, Rena, tell us.
I watch Jeffrey Dahmer. I watch Death Note. And
whoa.
You watched Death Note?
Yeah.
Like the movie or the show?
The show. I watched the whole thing. Cause
like the comic? Or no, the anime? Or?
Yeah, the anime.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it good?
It was good. I actually really liked it. Except like at the end, I was like, okay, this is boring. Like I don't know why, but I've just been getting that vibe for every movie and show I've been watching. It's just like the end is just like so like.
Journey is so much more fun.
Yeah, I really loved like the episode like 1 through 20. Like those were like the good episodes.
Okay, so stop there.
Yeah, stop exactly. Yeah.
How so long is it?
It's like 40 episodes.
Dang, you didn't like the second half?
Wow, you didn't like a whole 50% really. Of the show.
Exactly. Okay. No, I was like, because
like stopping Breaking Bad at like season 2.
Yeah, can't do that.
Breaking Bad's good all the way.
Yeah, that's one of the rare.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you like the end of Dahmer, where he fucking dies?
Oh, yeah. Wait, I literally looked up.
Yeah, I looked up how he died, too. I was like, what's his sentence? It's like 900 years.
Yeah.
And then like,
well,
I
he
was
says
like,
that in the show if you watched it.
I looked up before that. And I was like, how does he die? It's like blunt force trauma. I'm like, oh, nice. That's a good way to.
And then I also looked up if Jeffrey Dahmer got baptized the same day John Wade Gacy or whatever his name is, died, and it was true or something like that.
Yeah,
and I was like, that's so ironic. And
it's
I want to
like
watch
insanely accurate. Yeah,
I want to watch the document of John Wayne Gacy.
Who's that?
He's the guy with the clown.
He dresses up as a clown and like murdered kids.
Yeah, drowned them and like
in, fucked
like,
up.
Drowned him in like his bathtub and shit.
So I literally love that stuff. So, I don't know why.
That sucks. But do you remember that era of internet where people just jumping up? Dressing up as clowns and being weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that this week.
It was like 2018.
Yeah.
Was it during high school?
I feel
like it was during high school. It was just like random people dressing up as clowns and like making weird videos on the internet.
Yeah.
And I feel like.
I'm pretty sure they actually killed some people. Like, some people killed.
Well, yeah. No, someone's always going to kill someone, Daniel.
Right.
That's the life we live.
I remember going past Basha, and there was, like, this, like, sewer, and they had, like, the balloon from it.
Oh, fuck that.
It was so weird. I was like, cool. What the hell? But, yeah. I love those types of things.
Is that clown man part of Dahmer?
So he was like around the same time.
Is he in the Dahmer cinematic universe?
It was when, so John Wayne Gacy, he was found out when Jeffrey was in prison.
Oh, okay.
And he got the death sentence because he was in like a state where they had that. And Dahmer did not.
I love when Dahmer was just like, I told them to give me the death sentence.
I asked them to.
I love that.
Maybe 900 like, years instead.
It's mine. You can't just take it.
Yeah. But no, he like dies at the end and it shows the dude that like kills him and he just beats the shit out of him with like some weights in the weight room because they were cleaning it. It was awesome. It was so satisfying.
It was so.
I'm like, fuck this guy.
I saw a TikTok of someone just like making a joke. This is kind of off topic, but it reminded me. Like when I get the death sentence, but my last meal is unlimited breadsticks at Olive Garden.
Come on, that's too easy. Too easy.
I thought that was so funny.
Hey, okay, what would be your guys' last meal? I love asking this question.
Such a good question that I'm not prepared to answer currently, but I'll say something and regret it later. How about that?
All right. Okay.
Yeah, you go first.
Yeah, well, I'll say something and regret it later.
All right. So do you already know your answer?
No. Okay.
Have I been in prison? So I've been deprived of things?
No, you actually.
Been in prison.
No, you just got caught and then you're in court and.
Going
straight to death sentence.
You've been in jail for like a month while the trial has been happening.
Right.
Dude, I gotta just have like a platter of like just all the shit Nana makes. Like some enchiladas, some tamales with a fried egg on it. No, yeah.
She's gonna provide.
She's gonna cater the event. Some of her beans, some of her rice, her handmade tortillas.
Yeah, I agree that some of the best meals I've ever had have been homemade from Nana specifically.
Get stuff. Like stuff that they can get.
Like
so it's gotta be something you buy?
Something you buy, yeah.
I feel like I would just have like an all-out crazy, like, get as much as I can from the restaurant Zen Burger. It's like, they have really good burgers, but you have to pay for fries separately. I mean, I'm not worrying about that, right? Because I'm about to die. So I'll get, like, their zucchini fries are really good, but, I mean, it's my last day. So I'll get the truffle fries. They sell shakes there that are fucking bananas. So good. And so I would get that as well. And then we just like that.
Actually,
get the El Diablo burger so that I'm gonna die, so I won't regret.
Kill me now, kill me
my
now.
My body.
Your tummy's not gonna hurt.
Yeah, later. So that's what I would do.
I watched this one YouTube video. This was like a long time ago when Shane Dawson was actually like good. he bought the stuff that people's last meal was. Like he.
That's like such one a good was like idea. A
2 liter.
That's morbid as fuck.
One was like a 2 liter of like Diet Coke and like some like a Kid's Cuisine or some shit that. I was so yeah, it was so satisfying to watch. I was like, I wonder like why would you think that?
Those brownies kind of hit different though.
Oh yeah, I've never had a better brownie in my life. And one that's been fucking nuked.
Someone was like a full bucket of KFC chicken.
That's get old after a while. That chicken's not so even thirsty. That good.
So thirsty.
If I have to, I don't know. I think I just, the hours. Thing I crave the most out of like any other food is just like Canes.
You're going to say
so
that.
I think I would just get a Caniac and call it.
You ever
it
had a Caniac?
Really?
Or do you normally get Caniacs?
Most of the time, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Even sometimes if like Sarah likes me that day, she'll give me like an extra strip. So it's like 8 strips. I don't know.
Damn.
Oh my God.
You know, obviously sub slava toast. Extra sauce, you know.
Just get like a gallon of sauce.
Because I think a gallon of sauce or like the fucking cups.
Yeah. Oh, gross. That's foul.
Oh my God. They
cup that you normally drink out of, they just have sauce in there.
You put so, dip that whole thing.
Put a fucking straw in it.
The chicken drink from it.
That's an IV of just fucking cane sauce. Ooh.
So American.
Ooh. Oh my God.
Like you kill yourself. That's your death penalty. It stops your heart.
Please.
Your arteries. It's a death penalty clogged
too. You die, but you have to do it.
Yeah. All right, so what would you do then?
Are you okay?
Wait, what'd you say?
I said Zinburger.
Oh, right, right. So what would you do?
I just thought about this. I've been loving Salad and Go, but like I think I the Salad and Go.
Salad and Go is awesome, yeah.
Frozen strawberry lemonade.
Oh, yeah, that should.
They're chicken Caesar wrap, no tomatoes.
You had the Caprese wrap?
I've had nothing Caprese? Else but Caprese.
It's Caprese.
I don't know. And then
that one's really good.
I don't know why, but I've been craving Red Lobster biscuits.
Well, I had some like last week. So good.
I had some because my friend works there and she gave me a free one.
Dude, have you had their chocolate cake? The chocolate wave cake?
No.
It's fucking.
Can we go to Red Lobster? Like,
it's out of this world. It's late. Insane. I had it like heated up a little bit because Sarah brought it as leftovers. I had one bite just expecting this generic chocolate cake. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because, like, it's got the frosting, and then it's got, like, the fudge, like, in the middle of it. And it's actually wavy looking for some reason. Super slept on.
I forgot about
Red Lobster. I'd have a dessert in my final meal. It'd be the chocolate cake from Costco.
Ooh.
I think. That is a good one.
Great choice.
John, or what's his name? What were you talking about?
John Wayne Gacy?
Yeah. I think he had a last meal.
Yeah.
I forgot what it was, though.
I like how he was like, John Wayne Gacy was like a serial killer who like.
His was strawberries, shrimp, chicken, fries, and a cup of coffee.
Kentucky fried chicken, french fries, 12 fried shrimp, and a pound of strawberries. A pound? Wow.
God damn.
A
pound. But
that's a lot.
Dude, when he was in like prison, he like was talking about how he like found God and shit like that and was actually like leading like prayers and stuff and like. Giving mass, and then like his last words were like, "Go fuck yourselves."
Yeah.
Love that.
And I was like, "Oh my god, absolutely insane."
I want to watch all the documentaries. I think mom was like saying, like she's like, I find those more interesting than the actual like shows. But I like the shows a lot better. I don't know why, but the documentaries are like interesting.
Have you seen the Bundy one?
No.
With
With Zac Efron. I heard that was ass.
Yeah, it's probably not very good.
Yeah, like the dramatizations kind of drag it out. But then again, some of the documentaries, it's like just people who like knew them or whatever. I'm like, how
much can we trust them? I like the stuff that like you get the real clips of like what they're saying and like why they did it and what they like what he said is routine on like his killings.
Have you watched it's like about the people who like coined the term serial killer, like when serial killers started like first showing up, because normally it was never anyone with like a motive and multiple offenses. It's normally just one time act of passion kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they're like starting to study these people who like have these multiple murders and have like an MO and stuff like that, and then eventually get into that point where they be like, oh, we should call these guys something else kind of thing.
It's sounds super good boring.
It's really good. Mindhunter.
Oh.
Watch that shit. Did you watch it?
Don's watched that stuff.
Don?
She told me to watch that.
Okay.
But I was
you
like,
can't always trust her.
Yeah, but that
I'm telling you, it's really good. They canceled it after 2 seasons. I was fucking pissed because it was awesome.
She told me to watch that. I was actually like thinking about watching it.
And then, did you watch Chainsaw Man?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
All right.
Pretty cool, right?
Well, pretty cool. I think the action was very choppy and I didn't like it.
A little
because
bit.
They are doing like the CGI like 3D thing.
Yeah, where it's like almost like a video game.
It's not there yet, you know?
Sure.
Because I think anime action in anime is I think one of the strong suits when it comes to like, I don't know, cartoons.
Sure.
Because they can get really creative with it. But then it seems like in Chainsaw Man they've limited themselves a little bit with what they can do. Like a technological perspective, because when the action was happening, the ideas were really cool, but it was like very like low frame rate and like choppy, so it seemed very weird. But the anime itself, pretty cool. I don't like that the demon dog is now just inside of him, because I like the demon dog Pochita. Just by itself. Yeah, Pochita. Yeah,
there's like flashbacks and stuff, but yeah, that it's kind of like one of those things where it's like it's kind of like the Boba Fett effect, where like you loved him so much because he was like good in the small parts that you got, you know.
And yeah, so, I just thought he was cute.
Yeah, pretty cute.
Where did the chainsaws end? At his elbow? How does that work?
Yeah, okay. Basically.
But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I'll keep watching it. But I think it's cool to have a I think like his experience, like he hasn't done anything to be in the position that he's in. He's just been dealt a bad hand because his dad owed a lot of money and then he died. And so now he has to pay back that debt. And I think it's a shitty situation.
Definitely.
I'm like, well, I'm definitely rooting for him now because that sucks.
Yeah. He's also like uneducated, you know?
Yeah.
And like, so he's pretty dumb dude, but. So
you're caught up on the manga, right?
Yeah. Well, one came out on Tuesday and I haven't read that, but.
What a big nerd you are.
Yeah, pretty cool, you know, all these fans, they don't know. They don't know what I know. And then I see people posting about it, and I'm like, what do you know about Chainsaw Man? Probably not shit.
I'm a bigger fan than you, and it's a contest now.
Yeah, and it's painful to see people like a thing that I liked first.
You liked it before, it was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I'll keep watching it. I've also just been watching Spy Family because both my roommates watch it.
And oh, so true.
I just like will eat.
Do you just like pick up where they're at or just kind
of? I picked up like right in the middle of the season. And so I feel like I've picked it up. I don't really understand like some of the characters' names and stuff.
There's yeah.
Like a bug in here.
Kill it.
But I like it. I think it's pretty funny. And there's a dog that's in there and there's a voice actor for the dog and all he says is Borf. And I think it's really funny. And then I've also watched just randomly like the first episode of Midnight Mass on Netflix.
Oh yeah, any good?
It's really good. Have you seen it at all or know what it's about?
Which one came first? The
Midnight Club just recently came out. Midnight Mass came out first. If that's what you're thinking.
Midnight Club, is that like connected to Midnight Mass?
No.
Okay.
But it has one of the same actors.
Okay, that's
so easy. That might be confusing.
I know it's not Midnight Club. Midnight Mass. I think I tried it, and then it's just like meh.
It's like it's just Gideon Falls.
Oh, is it?
which is insane. Or like, there's a lot of parallels because it's like about this guy who was like a pastor, and he fucked up and got into like a DUI and like killed a kid, and so he was like in jail for a little bit, and then he is now an atheist or whatever. But it like there's like just this weird small town like spiritual weird thing that's happening. And like I relate it to Gideon Falls because it's like a weird small town with like a tight knit community. The pastor that everybody like goes to church to is like missing, but then they see like a weird demonic version of him like later in the line, which is like Gideon Falls. There's a mysterious new pastor that shows up and he's got some weird stuff going on with him, just like Gideon Falls. There's a new sheriff, just like Gideon Falls. And so like the whole time I'm like, this is just that comic book. I don't know. Yeah. I wonder which one came out first. Actually, no. Gideon Falls came out first.
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
Midnight Mass is like a year ago or something like that.
I hope they'll still like come out with Gideon Falls on like Hulu or whatever or whoever.
Picked it up. For sure. But yeah, I was watching it. I'm like, there's another Gideon Falls thing. It's like that shirt that he's wearing right now that's based off of. So that's kind of funny. But but I thought it was really good.
For sure. Did you finish it or
no? I just watched the first episode.
Right. Cool.
That's it.
Nathan, we watched Werewolf by Night.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think?
It was great.
Yeah.
Really good.
I thought it was pretty cool. It was quite a vibe, you know, the black and white. I put it on, and I'm like, I told Sarah, I'm like, this is just like an hour. We're going to watch it. It's like a spooky thing. She's like, all right. And she's like, is it all in black and white? I'm like, yeah. She's like, I'm going to go on my phone. I'm like, why?
Why does that
matter?
Yeah, I don't know. And then at the end, like, the color comes on, like, the color's on, you can watch now.
It's like last 30 seconds.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why she just can't focus on things that are in black and white, so I can never show her like Sin City and things like that.
I thought it was really interesting thing to come from Marvel.
Yeah,
I liked it a lot. I think it was just such a solid like hour, like little one shot thing, very refreshing.
Yeah, I can't say it would benefit from being longer, and it was good that it was just like, it would benefit from being like a 2-hour movie or something.
Yeah. It definitely had like old Halloween movie vibes, which I appreciate a lot.
Yeah.
So you watched it?
She did not.
Oh, you did not watch it. Okay. Yeah, it was all like black and white. And it's just basically about like the monster hunters that live within like the Marvel universe. They're all coming together because like a monster hunter that was like the LeBron James of monster hunting died. And they're all like coming together. And then somebody's like, he has this like really special stone and one of you is going to get it, but you have to kill a monster in order to get it. And so it's just like a bunch of monster hunters trying to go after a monster and they're like in a big maze.
They also like killing each other to try and like get to the thing,
which is fun.
And I honestly didn't expect like fighting in this at all for some reason. I really, I don't know. I just expected it to be just like a werewolf story, you know? Yeah. Are werewolves cool now?
Does that make
them cool? No. I was like a little iffy on like the werewolf design when we finally saw him.
Yeah, I was like, eh.
I think I just prefer a snout, like a little bit of a snout.
A little more snout, yeah.
It's just a furry man I saw.
He just had a very furry back.
A little too furry. I felt like his arms looked bigger because of how much fur he had. Yeah. You know?
I like that he still had jeans on. That's pretty good.
He looks more like Chaka from Land of the Lost. Do you remember that movie?
I do remember that movie. I don't remember Chaka.
Remember Will Ferrell was like, I've determined if we need food, we will cook and eat Chaka.
I unironically love that movie. I can't remember Chaka.
No, very good.
But let me see Chaka.
That's Chaka.
Oh, I do remember Chaka.
Did you ever see this movie with this guy?
I've seen him, but I don't think I've watched it. Yeah, I don't
know. It just reminded me of Chaka for some reason.
I didn't know anything about this going into it, so I was like,
we read a book called Werewolf by Night.
I know, but I just knew that it was like supposed to be like Monster Hunters or whatever. And I was like, I hope Elsa Bloodstone is in this.
Yeah, she was. That was cool.
And she's great. She's got like some really sick action. I like the like.
She got some attitude. Yeah, love it.
And I like the set designs. Yeah. Like everything.
I don't know what the budget was for this, but it looked pretty solid.
Yeah, it's just a weird thing for Marvel to put out because it's like an hour, and I don't think they're going to really touch it again. But how sick was Man-Thing?
Pretty sick. I liked him a lot.
I love Man-Thing.
I love him now.
Yeah, because he's just a misunderstood like swamp creature.
Dude, what the fuck are his powers? He just grabbed someone and made him like extra crispy, you know?
No one really knows. It's just whatever Man-Thing's powers need to be is what it is.
But okay.
He's just a nice man named Ted, and he's just misunderstood.
I fucking guess.
But he looks really cool. Like, I've always loved the Man-Thing design because it's like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
But it's cool. I thought it was...
And he eats sushi, I guess.
It's very, like, gory for Marvel stuff.
Yeah, but it was in black and white, so there wasn't real blood in it.
So it makes it okay.
Yeah, it was just...
people's arms being chopped off, you know.
Some violent kills, for sure.
I think they did a really good job with it. Also, the director is a composer.
Yeah, he did the Batman.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I guess he
made the Nirvana song. He's in my ass.
One of my favorite parts is like when the werewolf's like turning and just shows Elsa Bloodstone, and it's like the silhouette of him turning.
That was cool.
And it was like very cartoony looking.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. All of it was pretty good.
Yeah. All good things.
Are you guys going to watch any of the movies?
Have you seen Terrifier?
I've seen the first one. Have
Did
you?
Did you like it? No.
Oh.
Did you like it?
It was mid.
Wait, Child's Play like Chucky? There's another one
It's
a show.
The one that we watched together was so silly. It was like, what is
this? It was as if like Chucky was like,
all being
like Alexa or something. It was like this like...
Oh, I love that.
It was this thing that connected to all your devices and turned all the lights off and shit. And like, it was voiced by Mark Hamill.
Oh, and it had Aubrey Plaza in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just a couple years ago.
Yeah, I remember that. No, I remember it coming out and be like, I like Aubrey Plaza.
It doesn't watch scary movies anymore.
No, Sophia doesn't like them, and so I don't have any...
We gotta have movie nights every now and then.
Yeah.
Can we, bro? Like, every scary movie. I love scary movies.
Have you seen Malignant?
Oh, is that the cover where, like, the... No, I haven't. But I know what you're talking about.
I watched it, and it's, like, a top five horror movie for me.
Really?
But... It's like kind of making fun of horror movies at the same time. Like there is like intentionally bad acting in it, but I think it's awesome, and I want to show Nathan really bad. So we'll have to do a scary movie night.
Yeah, I love when me and mom and dad would like watch like old scary movies, like Silence of the Lambs and Seven. Seven is so good.
Those are not old movies.
Dude, those came out in like 2005.
I just want to be clear.
Older. Well, not. I mean, like
not new.
Not new.
Modern.
Like
these fucking classic horror movies.
Oh my gosh.
Super old ones, like Seven.
I'll just leave now. I'm just kidding.
I guess Silence of the Lambs is like, what, 80?
That is 90s.
90s, probably.
But anyway.
Did you know that Hannibal Lecter was based off of, actually.
A book?
Let me back up. Sophia thought that Hannibal Lecter was a real person.
I can believe that, that she would believe that.
You know? Yeah.
Like, I get that. Like, it, you'd have to, like, look it up, I guess.
Yeah.
Hannibal Lecter's a cool-ass name, though.
It is a sick name. But apparently it is based off of a Mexican dude that would kill people.
Okay. His name, like...
Oh, okay.
I don't know what his name was. It wasn't. I remember hearing his name, and it wasn't anywhere near, like, Hannibal Lecter or anything, so...
Sorry, yeah, I was going to skip me.
We wanted to see Smile... What was that other one that came out? We were probably going to see Barbarian, you know, regardless of what you said.
Oh, my God. You're gonna
what else is coming out? I don't think I would like Terrifier. I mean, it looks scary.
You should watch the first one.
I hear the second one is, like, better. It's, like, the super low-budget, like, clown murderer thing. It's just, like, and he's, like, a silent...
Like okay, so, like, the first movie, the first scene is, like... It's Halloween, and, like, these two girls go to this pizza shop, and there's this, like, creepy clown just, like, sitting there watching them, like, smiling at them. It's honestly terrifying. Like, I was scared a little bit.
The Terrifier is terrifying?
It's very terrifying. but I forgot what the rest of the movie was about. But
yeah, I think it was made for, like, I don't know, like, $15,000 or some shit like that.
Oh, nice.
It was, like, super duper low budget, but... it's like 2 hours of just this like insane kills and shit like that. But
Smile, I think you should see Smile. I thought that was a good movie.
I don't think I know.
Barbarian, you're going to waste your money. Okay. I feel like you're going to hate it. But I want you to watch it so we can bond about how bad it was.
Okay.
So, yes.
Sister just wants to bond with you, Daniel.
Okay.
Please.
I invite her on the pod. What do you want from me?
Yeah.
Did you watch Hulk or Andor or anything?
Yeah, I've caught up on Hulk.
Okay, you want to talk about it?
Yeah, it's great.
Pretty great. Great episode.
It's so it's so good.
There is this character called Leapfrog.
I was like, fuck this, immediately.
He was like Marvel's like vigilante almost, it felt like.
Yeah, I could see that. Oh, kind of, yeah.
And then his like base was called the Lily Pad.
I thought that was really funny, though. This is so dumb. Yeah, Daredevil was great.
Dude, I thought the first time we'd seen him would be as Daredevil, but no, Matt Murdock walks in the courtroom.
I'm like, let's go, dude. Like, I love that they had like a lawyer battle.
Yeah, very
like that was very believable. And then like it's cool seeing Matt Murdock uses like Daredevil powers in the courtroom. What's his name again? Leapfrog. When he takes out his like boosters that malfunction, he like smells the jet fuel and he's like, what'd you put in there? You know,
put in the wrong fuel.
So I thought that was they did like. Just all the good Daredevil things, and I like that he was a more lighthearted one. And he was like
running
around or whatever. He's a hoe.
Yeah, for sure. He does the walk of shame.
The walk of shame in his Daredevil suit because him and She-Hulk smash.
Yeah,
that was pretty sick.
They She-Hulk smash.
Did She-Hulk come out?
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about.
I think the seventh episode came out.
She-Hulk,
Attorney at Law.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what that's the show
about.
That we're talking about.
Oh, okay, my fault.
Yeah, and Daredevil was a guest star
cameo.
Yeah,
like
sure.
A funny movie or
it's like a sitcom in Marvel. That's the best way I think I could.
There's also name it. Like action in it, but it is
there is
like,
action in it. Yeah, it's just, but it's not like every Marvel thing where it seems like it's just like there's like a villain, you know, and it's like I don't know. It
there's not a villain for like the whole season. It's kind of like villain of the week kind of thing.
Yeah. It's a it's very good and very fresh because it's just fun and like I don't really care where it's going. I just like watching it.
Okay, entertaining.
It's entertaining. It's just like you watch it because you like the show, and it's like a How I Met Your Mother. It's like this character, and they're just going through you know their daily life, you know, and She-Hulk's trying to date people, you know, but she can't because now people are like, oh, I want to see She-Hulk or whatever. But she's also being a lawyer, but maybe she's only got her lawyer job because she's a Hulk.
Right.
So it's things like that. But
you see the She-Hulk suit, which is really sick.
That was great.
Looks great.
It's so good.
I'm like, I love it.
And I like how she's like, I'm sorry, I assume that the person dressed as a devil is a bad guy. And he's like, you know what? That's fair. And I just like that we saw like him doing flips and stuff, and he like does flips down the parking garage. So like,
get another hallway fight.
Yeah, another hallway fight, which was sick. They did a really good job. With Daredevil.
And then she is able to like break the fourth wall. So she like talks to the camera to like the audience and stuff. Okay. That's kind of fun. She's like, does it feel like this episode should be over? You know, this is a happy ending. Very well, that are well-rounded. And then, like, she goes to some gala thing. And then the gala gets, like, hijacked. And, like, some hacker people, like, put, like, a sex tape of her. Did not consent on, like, this projector. And she, like, gets all... She rages out and starts smashing shit.
Do you think that...
And they called her a slut.
Yeah. That was crazy. Interesting. Do you think that that guy that smashed Jen...
Yeah.
Do you think that he put, like, the serum or used, like, whatever needle thing that they were making...
Potentially.
In her while she was, like, sleeping? Because when they were texting...
I don't know. That seems pretty... Yeah, I feel like that'd wake you up.
Maybe. But maybe... I don't know. She was very sleepy.
And...
But, yeah. So, I think that that guy that ghosted her, who ended up being part of that, like, weird organization that's trying to do something with She-Hulk, they made a better needle and put that in Jen.
Maybe.
Because when he was, like, leaving, he, like, texted... whatever, and he like texted in only emojis, which is weird for like a bad guy to do. But he, it was like needle emoji.
He's still a person, Nathan.
Needle emoji, green girl, thumbs up. I was like, what does that even mean?
She talks about like this could be setting up the next episode, and she's like, "Oh, I'm about to get fridged."
Oh, dude, I was like, "Oh god."
Deep cut. We love
it. No one really knows what that means, so I'm surprised that they keep like saying that.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Maybe people in.
What does it mean?
You know what? Being fridge means like for real. So it's got a weird history, which I don't think people associate it with like the origin of it. But being fridge means that someone gets killed so that the main character has a reason to do something. So, and it's funny because it started in a Green Lantern comic where this guy became a Green Lantern for the first time. And he's like having fun being a Green Lantern. And then his girlfriend gets killed and cut up to pieces and put into a fridge. And then he opens the fridge and finds her, and he's like, well, now I got to go stop this bad guy. And the idea is that people will just make female characters just to kill them off to give male characters a reason to do something. And that's a pretty big problem in, like, a lot of fiction you'll find, especially with action stories and stuff. So that's what that means, being fridged. So when they said that in the show, I'm like, that's really funny.
I'm like, I love that.
I wonder how many people actually get it. Because I assume Sophia doesn't know.
I feel like a fraction. But that joke was for us, Nathan.
Yeah, I liked it.
Did you watch Andor?
No.
There's blue milk in it, Nathan. You got to watch it.
Oh, fuck. You're right.
They used the metric system, which I thought was interesting.
Like meters?
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's about 40 meters or something. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
I need Star Wars measurements.
Yeah.
It's 40... Twinkle donks that way. Something like that.
I think the heist that they keep talking about is like the next episode, but like it's like the sixth episode right now or the fifth episode right now, and the whole thing's like 12 episodes.
I'm
like,
holy shit.
I'm like, what are they going to fill the rest of this like season with?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it when you finally watch it. But
I didn't watch a lot of things this week, and I was on vacation.
That's fair, I guess. What are we going to watch next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
What are we going to read?
What are we going to read next week, Nathan? No, you. What are we going to watch? We're going to watch Andor?
I'm going to watch Andor. Collectively, we're going to read... Don't tell me. Kiss Zombies?
Yeah.
So
you know the band you know Kiss?
Yes.
So they
Zombies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that going to be sick?
Yeah. Wait, are you guys doing like... Christmas like specials and stuff?
Do one Christmas book.
But we're gonna do two because we skipped it last year.
Oh, yeah, because there was a movie coming out or something, right?
Kingsman, which is also a movie we didn't watch.
Oh, interesting. I think I watched it.
You read the Kingsman? It's like the new one. It's like the prequel to Kingsman. But anyway, yeah, we're gonna do two Christmas books. I'll let you know if you want to come on.
For sure, for sure.
For sure, for sure. I
mean, not a whole lot of Christmas.
I have a list.
Christmas trades. Do you really?
Yeah, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a Batman.
We've read
one
named Klaus. That one's really good.
Wait, is that like the evil Santa?
No, that's Krampus.
Oh, same difference.
It's Krampus. I like how you had like the answer right away.
I know. When I was with it, you're like,
you immediately what you meant.
So we have the Punisher, Very Special Holiday.
That's so funny.
We have Happy. Which is that Grant Morrison book.
Is that set during Christmas time?
Yeah.
Is that a Christmas comic?
Yeah, and the villain's like a like a mall Santa who like kidnaps kids.
Love that. Okay.
Yeah, we love it. We have The Last Christmas, which is like, I think it's like Santa who's just killing people. I don't know.
Love that.
I want to read that one.
But okay. Like in a heroic way. I saw the cover.
Just,
I'm like,
love it even more.
Love that.
It sounds like it would be a horror, but now that it's not horror, I'm just interested in how they're
going to talk to this already. Would you watch the trailer for Violent Night?
It's the
David Harbour.
I have actually. I think I've seen like set photos of it, but I haven't like seen the trailer.
It looks like Nobody, like that movie, but like with just Santa.
Sick.
Because like it's like Santa. He's like, I'm fucking old, but I'm gonna kill you guys because you ruined this little girl's Christmas.
And the Christmas vibes.
Yeah. And there's also a book that came out recently called The Naughty List. And so
interesting.
All Christmas thing. So as soon as I see
that's a movie or that's a book?
It's a book.
Oh, what that sounds good. Wow. Actually, there's a lot of Christmas stuff.
Like they're all going to be like low-key funny in a way.
Yeah, no, they're awesome.
I feel like the ratio of good Christmas books is way better than the ratio of good comic horror comics.
Definitely.
Anyway,
if you're gonna do it, you got to do it well, you know.
Yeah.
What are we gonna read next week?
Anyway, we're reading Kiss Zombies next week, because I demand it.
This is the one thing you would not negotiate with me on.
I would not budge on this.
We were coming up with the horror books for the month. You were like, this is a must.
Yeah.
We could have done Department of Truth. We could have done Deceased. We could have done a lot of other things.
Nah.
When I went to Six Flags, since they were like all Halloween themed, like the DC stuff had a lot of Deceased covers.
Oh, cool.
Which is really interesting. They also had like, at night, they had like a bunch of like scary people walking around or whatever, like zombies or whatever. But in the DC area, they had Joker gang people.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Nice.
Shout out Six Flags. Magic Mountain.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Go to that link tree. Get the likes, get the follows, get the subscriptions. Subscribe to YouTube, you know.
Yeah.
You have to pay for it.
Free.
Thank you, Rena, for coming on once again. We'll see you in December, probably.
Yes. That's for Christmas book now.
I don't care.
Christmas book every month.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Nathan, for coming again.
That's what I do.
We'll see you next week. All right.
You know, it works really hard to edit these videos. Give it a like.
Yeah. No. Takes 2 seconds.
Smash that like button,
guys.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.